الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama-i kiram, elders and brothers, everything in this world has two dimensions to it. One is the external dimension, the outward shape, the outward form, and the other is the internal dimension, which you could interpret as the essence and the reality of that. We all do understand that the internal dimension is more important than the external dimension. Like you get a body, then you get a ruh. So more important than the body is the ruh and the soul. When the ruh leaves the body, then the body is of no benefit. The body is then buried. No one wants to keep that body with them. Similarly, if you take another example, for example, you take a fruit, you take a mango. One is the outward appearance of that, and one is the inward aspect of the mango, the smell, the fragrance, the taste, the sweetness. Now if you bring some sort of an artificial mango and you present it to someone, it's of no benefit to him. He cannot enjoy it, he cannot eat it, he cannot take any benefit. Although outwardly, both look the same. You take genuine notes, and you take counterfeit notes. Outwardly, both look the same. But we know the counterfeit is of no benefit. Maybe you'll get arrested if a person got counterfeit notes. And the genuine notes, you can do a lot with that. So similarly, when we look at Iman, you will find there's an external dimension to Iman. A person has got a Muslim name. He wears, you know, Islamic clothing. He makes salam. He greets people. And then there is an internal dimension, the reality of Iman, the essence of Iman, that from within his heart, from the crevice of his heart, he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes in every command of Allah. He believes that everything is in Allah's control. He understands everything happens with Allah's will. So more important than the external dimension is the internal dimension of Iman. And you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions promises for Iman and the believers. إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ Allah says, definitely, we will assist our messengers and the believers in this worldly life and on the day of Qiyamah. And there are many ayats like this. حَقَّنْ عَلِيْنَا نَسُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says it is our responsibility to assist and aid the believers. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these promises, then these promises are not for the superficial iman. No. It's not for the external iman. This promise is for the perfect and complete iman. It's for the person who has got the internal dimension of Iman, who has got the reality of Iman. Now Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they understood this very well. Anbiya alayhimus salam had the greatest level of Iman. That is why the Quran Sharif mentions the incidents throughout the, you know, different parts of the Quran. Allah is mentioning, no one could shake them. No one could frighten them. No one could intimidate them. Anbiya alayhimus salam. You know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhis salam is a young boy. He's standing in front of the superpower of that time, Numrud, one of the four kings who ruled the entire world. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhis salam is not worried. He's not concerned. There's no fear. He's not carried away. He's not intimidated. He's not influenced. Why? Because he got Iman. He knows I believe in Allah and Allah is with me. And if Allah is with me, there's nothing for me to be afraid of, nothing for me to be worried of, because I believe Allah is with me. So throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Anbiya alayhimus salam. Then we look in the lives of Sahaba, you find they had the perfect, complete Iman. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they just did not have like just superficial Iman. It wasn't just that they put a kurta on and they had a beard and they used some terms. No. The Iman was from the very crevice of the heart, from the bottom of the heart. Yaqeen is on Allah. Allah is the controller. Allah is the doer. Allah is in control of every situation. Allah gives life. Allah takes life. Everything is in Allah's power. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were not even afraid to give their lives. When Sahaba, when they went out in jihad, it is known that the Sahaba went out in jihad only with one purpose. They want their lives to go. They're making dua at the time of Tahajjud. Allah give us shahadat. Allah take us away with martyrdom. We want to leave this dunya. They got Jannat in front of them. They can see all the comforts and luxuries of Jannat. The Iman is so strong. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala an, he goes out in jihad. He's with the army. And somehow or the other, the Romans capture them. Take them as captives to the Roman emperor. You know, that time the Roman Empire was like a superpower in the world. The Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. Yeah, when the Roman king learns that these people are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he thinks, what can he do to get them into Christianity? So he tells Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu an, that see, if you accept Christianity and you leave your religion, firstly I will give you my daughter in marriage. And apart from that, I will make you a partner in my kingdom. I will give you a good portion of my kingdom. Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu anhu's immediate response, not even for the flesh of an eye will I be prepared to accept that. Even if you tell me just for like few seconds, I must leave Islam and I must come into Christianity, I'm not prepared for that. So he says, well then in that case, I will have to kill you. He says, that's fine. You may go ahead and do that. So what he does, first he tells them to tie him up. And, you know, they maybe tie him up to some wall or to some trunk or something. And he calls his archers and he says, start shooting at him. But don't shoot him, miss him. Just, you know, close to his legs, close to his hands. Now it's just like that. Imagine someone taking a gun and they shoot him, but they're just missing you. To see now whether he gets frightened. Nothing's happening to him. So Abdullah, they take him down. The king says, right now, get a, you know, big pot of boiling hot water, cauldron of boiling hot water. He calls for one captive. He releases him into the water. Within seconds, he's in smitherings. You can just see bones. Everything is all gone, dissolved. So he says, now are you going to do it? He says, no, I'm not going to do it still. He says, okay, let's take him and release him into this. They're putting him now on something and they're about to release him in the boiling hot water. Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala and starts to cry. So this king thinks, there's it now. Now I think he's frightened. Bring him down. What's the matter? Why are you crying? He says, no, I'm crying because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me one life. And now this one life is going to go. I am desirous that Allah gave me so many lives, as much as strands of hair I have on my body, that every single life I can give for Allah. The king is shocked. He's thinking, who are these people? You know, in the time of Sahaba, time doesn't allow us to go into details. Sometimes they brought the most beautiful woman in front of them. Nothing. The woman asking, have you sent us to men, or have you sent us to walls or stones, or what are they? This was Sahaba. They were like mountains. Why? Because they had iman. The true meaning of iman. Not just the superficial iman. They had the true iman. So there was nothing that could move them. So the king tells Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala, okay, it's fine. Kiss my forehead and I will release you. So he says, on one condition, you release all the Muslim captives that you have got. He said, I will release all the Muslim captives. So he kissed his forehead. When he goes back to Medina Munawwara and he relates this incident to Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that it is the duty of every Muslim now to kiss the forehead of Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu anhu, and I will be the first to do it. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzafa Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala kissed the forehead of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu anhu. So respected friends, Sahaba now, they had iman in the true sense of it, in the true meaning of it. It wasn't just a superficial iman. So there was no power now that could frighten them. There was no power that could change them. Whoever they were, as sophisticated, as educated as they were, they said, good for y'all. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that is sufficient for us. We don't need any further explanation from your side. You can keep your culture, you can keep your knowledge, you can keep your wealth to yourself. We don't need that. What we need is Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was Sahaba Umair ibn al-Humam, radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Badr. He's telling the Sahaba, "Qumu ila jannatin arduha as-samawat." Now stand up and fight to Jannat. The breadth of Jannat is like the distance of the skies and the earth. That is how vast Jannat is. You worried about the small dunya. You worried about your small house. You worried about your small vehicle. That is nothing. Look at Jannat. Look at the vastness of Jannat. Umair ibn al-Humam radiallahu anhu, he says, "Bakh, bakh," you know, excellent. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, why do you say this? He says, no, I hope that I will be from the people of Jannat. He takes out some dates from his quiver. He starts chewing on the dates. He thinks to himself, if I'm going to live till I finish this date, it's going to be too long. Jannat is waiting for me. Why do I have to live here? He takes the dates and he throws it away and he goes and fights in the thick of the enemy until he is martyred. That was Sahaba, not one example, not two examples. There's, you know, thousands of examples that you can cite. Open the books of Sirat. Read the lives of Sahaba. Look at their bravery. Look at their courage. Look at their valor. That was the secret behind the success of Sahaba. Why Sahaba was so successful? You know, Sahaba, sometimes when they fought enemies, not ordinary, double times their size. That's how huge those enemies. Sometimes 10 times their number, 20 times their number. But the Sahaba are winning the battles. There's no logical, scientific explanation you can give for this. It's impossible. 10 huge, big, well-prepared soldiers, well-armed, coming in front of a small person. Hardly got any ammunition. Hardly got any weapons with him. But the one man is outnumbering them. There's something that, you know, there's some power that they got that no one can explain. What's that power? What was that power? It was the power of iman. It was the power of the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The power of taqwa. The power of sunnat. That is the power Sahaba had with them. In that time, as I mentioned, you know, the Roman Empire was the superpower. So the emperor at that time, Hercules, he was dumped. He had no explanation. He's sending huge, large armies, always coming back defeated. What is the problem? What is the matter? Are those people not human beings? They said, no, they're human beings. We're not fighting, you know, jinnats or angels or something. We're fighting human beings. Are you larger in number or they? No, no, we are far much more than them in number. What is the problem then? How is it every time your people are going, you're getting defeated on the battlefield, you're coming back? So one person there, in that one general of the army, he spoke out. And he said, let me tell you, what is the secret behind these people? What they have? يَقُومُونَ layl. One is they stand up at night in namaz. Not watching TV. Not playing with the cell phone. Not doing futile things, not following sports and scores. They're standing up at night, they're reading namaz. وَيَسُومُونَ النَّهَارِ In the day they're fasting. Sometimes they're fighting in jihad, but they're fasting also. وَيُوفُونَ بِالْأَهَدِ They are people who honor their word, honor their promise. Not that you're promising something today and tomorrow you're changing your promise, you're changing your word. No, they honor their word. There are people that stand by their word. If they say something, they will stand by that. وَيُوفُونَ بِالْأَهَدِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ They command with good. Wherever they go, what is right is right. وَيَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And they stop from wrong. They stop from evil. وَيَتَنَاسَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ And among themselves, they are very, very just people. They are people that have a lot of justice in them. There's no injustice. There's no oppression. And on the other hand, what this person is saying, we drink wine. Now go and look into the Muslim community now and go and see how many people are on alcohol or how many people are on substance abuse. We drink wine. We make zina. This here also, illicit relationships in the Muslim community, all ages, old, young, middle age, everyone. Illicit relationship has become the order of the day. So we make zina. We don't honor our word. We don't keep to our promises. We don't command people to do good. Because of this bad qualities, they are always in the front. They are always successful. Because of our evil qualities, we are always losing the battle. So what did Hercules say at that time? He said, you spoke the truth. The kings at that time also, you know, they had knowledge. They were not foolish people. It's not like now that the scum of the nation have become the leaders. No. That time the kings had some intellect, they had some understanding. Hercules said, what you said now is the truth. Go to the Persian Empire. Yazdajir amongst the last kings of the Persians. He doesn't know what to do. He's so strong, so powerful, such a huge army. But he just cannot win. Every time they're losing, they're suffering defeat. They don't know how to even, you know, explain what's the reason for them to lose. So he sends a letter now, a messenger, to the Chinese king at that time to say, we need your aid, we need your assistance. Persia, we just can't win against these people. So the Chinese king, he asked the messenger, okay, before you go, let me ask you some questions first. Because y'all are so strong, y'all are so huge in number, what's the problem? So he starts asking questions, who are these people? You know, what are the qualities, what they have? One of the questions he asked, is do they regard halal to be haram and haram to be halal? I said, no, they're very strict. These are very straight people. What's haram is haram. What's halal is halal. They don't mince their words. They're not looking for loopholes. No, they're very firm. When they got a teaching, they're very firm on their teaching. So the Chinese king is telling him, see, I can send an army now so huge that the front of it will be in Persia and the back will be in China. That's how big army I can send. But they'll never win. I am telling you, your good welfare is for you to go and make some peace treaty with these people and just live peacefully with them because it's impossible for you to defeat them. You will never ever defeat them. They have got some force, some power with them that no superpower on the surface of this earth will be able to defeat them. And what was that power, respected friends? That was the power of Iman. And if we now strengthen this Iman, it is time now for us to work on our Iman. We are going through very trying times, very, very difficult times, turbulent times. Only Allah knows what the future holds for us. But remember, it's only your Iman now that is going to hold you strong. It's your Iman, your strong link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your spirituality, your amal, your ibadat. So we need to now strengthen our Iman. First of all, we need to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to speak about Allah's greatness. If someone has got the time, affiliate yourself to the effort of Dawat and Tabligh and go out and hear about Allah's greatness. Start talking about Allah's greatness. Understand Allah's power. Then you'll forget about everything else. You won't be frightened. Nothing else is going to now frighten you and intimidate you because you know how powerful Allah is. And if Allah is in control of everything, if Allah is in control of everything and I got Allah with me, why now must I be intimidated? Why must I be frightened? Let us start ta'aleem in our homes. Let us read the kitabs to our children. Let us read the stories of Sahaba. Let them understand who their heroes are. Otherwise, they will take other heroes. They will take the worst of people as their heroes. They will take some actor as their heroes. Allah protect. You don't want your child to go in that direction. You don't want him to behave like that. You want him to become as a luminary. He must become like Sahaba, an example of Sahaba. So let us now start this ta'aleem in our homes. Let us connect ourselves to the masjid. The masjid is the powerhouse. Remember that Kaaba, the barakat and hidayat is coming on the Kaaba. From there it is distributed to all the masjids. Let us now connect ourselves to the masjid. Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us strengthen our iman. And inshallah we will also receive the divine assistance of Allah, as the Sahaba received, whether it's a visible enemy or it's an invisible enemy, nothing is difficult for Allah. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.